So Marissa and Shannon and Matt, do y'all want to come up? We're going to share stories, have a little reprieve from sending. Oh, wait, one more chair. Yeah, thanks for counting, Matt. We'll have a little table. It's like coffee
talk. Round table.
Yeah.
I probably won't reference my phone, but I just brought it to feel safe.
Yeah, that's okay. safety phones, safety coffees. Oh, nice. So Shannon and Matt and Marissa, all Short House alumni, right? Yeah, there you go. Oh, I didn't get y'all a microphone. There's one.
Yeah.
And here's one, so you guys can... Yeah. So we, as we've been doing the last several weeks, wanting to have story time as a way of, hearing from God and learning, even letting God speak to us as we hear of what God has done over the course of people's lives in this church. And so, yeah, the first question is the same as the other questions. You know, how did you find Soma? What were you like at the time? How did you end up here? Yeah. We're doing Aristotelian stories. Untied knot, tied knot, untied knot. Anyway, it's just a dorky thing.
I'll look it up, yeah. I found Soma. I had friends from university who wanted to church plant, and they heard about this church plant, and they called me every week, and they were like, this is what we're learning about church planting. You should come join this church plant in LA. It's the best church plant on the planet. They're going to mentor us and teach us, and you should be part of it. And I was doing my own thing. I was an internship in Sacramento. They called me every week for a year and asked me to join the church plant, and I said no every week because I was going to do something way cooler and like move to a foreign country, and I had my whole life planned out. But I finished my internship. And I got my board certification in music therapy. I applied to literally 75 jobs around the world, and I ended up praying about it. Felt like it'd be smart to join a good church plant for my first year of adulthood. So I moved down here, and I liked it, and I got a job. And Tim Keller says, like, move to where there's a really good church and take a decent job instead of finding a decent church with your really good job. And I liked that. For a one-year thing. And 8 years later, here I am, still heavily involved and very much in love with this church plant.
That's awesome. Sorry.
There's a power button. Matt and I had just gotten married in the summer of 2016, and I met up with a friend who'd never been to Soma, and she had just heard of it. She thought that it was like a brand new baby church plant, knew nothing about it, and we looked it up and realized it was 3 minutes from our apartment at the time. We're like, okay, well, I guess that seems easy. And then Evie Hutton turned around and said hello, like so many people's stories, and invited us to our first MC, invited me to my first DNA, and that was it. And we just stayed. I was unwell when I joined Soma. I think I was reflecting on it, and I just, because of kind of the church environment I was raised in, where I was raised, just how my family was, I came in with a lot of isms. I came in with a lot of legalism, some Christian nationalism, some internalized sexism, just like lots of things that had been fused with the gospel and who Jesus was and like what being a believer meant. And being at Soma has been like, I'm so grateful for 7.5 years of like all of those things being slowly, slowly stripped away and leached out of me. And so, yeah.
What Shannon said, she's much more articulate than I am, so I appreciate that. I guess to me, to share a little bit where I was coming in at, I did just graduate college, undergrad, and we were getting married. So been through a lot of transition in life, a lot of challenges, a lot of growth. Just a lot of change. And showing up to Soma, didn't know a single face in the room. And in some ways that was really comforting and welcoming because, there weren't people who knew our stories. It was kind of a fresh start for us in a lot of ways. And that was really great. And it was a really safe place to just be and to grow and to learn. And yeah, so that's a little bit about what it was like when we were getting started at SOMA.
That's great. And what are, as you look back, some of your, and you kind of maybe have already shared some, but some of your favorite moments or pivotal moments for you in your life in the church? Matt, you go first. We'll snake draft it.
I like it. All the frameworks. Some of my favorite moments in SOMA, I mean, the first video is that Ali put together. Gosh, I was tearing up at that. Those were a lot of my favorite moments. Just all of the life done together. Whether that was celebrating significant moments or just doing mundane things together, showing up each other's homes randomly, the sort of stuff that I think in LA you don't expect. Yeah, really magical, really wonderful. One more. I think I'll just call out during the pandemic, actually, SOMA, I think, was a really sweet place for me in particular, in that a lot of other people were losing relationships or not getting to have quality time with people that they may have in the past. The pandemic was a really isolating time, I think, for a lot of people. And for me, it was a time of really deepening connections and relationships with others. In particular, my DNA with Jeff and Evan, we got really, really deep in the Word and got to really know Jesus a lot better. Really matured during a lot of that, during that time. So it was really, really sweet for me, getting to have some consistency during the pandemic when everything else was kind of unknown and uncertain.
That's great. I love COVID highlights. Yeah.
Reversing?
Yeah, sure. Gosh. Always the middle.
I was thinking about this, and I was like, I literally wrote down, I was like, the last 7.5 years are a highlight, I don't know, like, of my life so far. It's like basically 25% of my life has been in SOMA, and like wow. So much of my, I feel like, actually growing up as a human. But I think it's just like all the in-between moments. I loved how you were like, no one's been like, that sermon was my favorite, even though you've had some phenomenal sermons.
I do genuinely just love like, it, not fishing for it. Yeah.
But like, yeah, I remember in the middle of the pandemic, just like crying to Allie by our cars after DNA, because like I had this little dream and I was like, it's never going to come true. And she speaking the gospel to me and getting to know Casey enough to see his crazy face, like when he actually goes crazy, like that's fun. Writing haikus for Morella's birthday, learning to do birthday affirmations in Shorthouse, which has changed how even like now my biological family celebrates birthdays. Yeah, it's just like so many small life moments, and like every birthday, every celebration, every baby shower, bridal shower, you know, and every hard illness and sad moment, SOMA, like the family of SOMA and like the people of SOMA have been there, and that will be a highlight for my whole life, I think. Mm. Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. Thanks for sharing.
I'm going to give two answers because the one I came up with was like this date, February 4th, a couple years ago. There were just a lot of friends that we called greenhouse Christians that they like suddenly just were flourishing in the Lord. They joined the church and like you could see so much growth. And three of them were baptized on the same Sunday. One of them was not planned. She came to church like hungover and just wearing a t-shirt she found in the back of her car. And they asked if anyone else wanted to be baptized. And she asked me to baptize her. And just got to pray and like tell people about what I'd seen God doing in her life and to do that. So that was like the highlight moment. But I would agree. I came here for my 1 year, just practice of adulthood before moving on to bigger, better things. And I asked God to help me find a different place to go to, and he wouldn't do it. Which is annoying because he like literally has every resources. He could give me a house and a job anywhere within 24 hours. Like he can do anything he wants. He didn't want to do that for me. He started to challenge me to be content here maybe forever and to stop dreaming or looking around and to like put down roots for the first time in my life. You know how it is when you move. And this was the right group of people to like, I was terrified of growing old with people and like letting them see the depths of me long term. Like short term is fine. They can forget about you, or you can look good and give a good impression for a year maybe. But long term, you can't do that. And so that's, I think, my favorite thing is that this group of people, they don't mind seeing the good, the bad, the ugly, and doing life with you for years and years in a row.
That's so good. What is, last question, Shannon, you'll go first. What's one thing that you're just really confident that God has done in your life or in this church? Yeah.
I would say like freedom is the word that comes to mind for me, of just like all of the isms and pathologies that I came in with, and just feeling so much more freedom in my relationship with the Lord, and that like my faith isn't in a silo, and then I like go out into the world and I'm just like, everyone's doing it so wrong out here, and like then come back to church, you know, like fill up my tank or whatever, but that my life feels so much more integrated and I can be so much more fully myself with my dear heathen friends, or like in the body. And I think maybe I thought years ago that like growing in Jesus meant that we would all like look more alike, if that makes sense. Like we're all wearing the same like gray and white spacesuit in the future.
Or green shirt.
Or green, yeah, we're all wearing the same dresses. I know I didn't bring my denim. But I think what I've seen in Soma is like people's lives bearing fruit and like seeing the fruit of the Spirit in people and like that commonality, but people looking more like themselves and like more, there's like more diversity and people are more vibrant and like not all wearing the same spacesuits, but like very different, very colorful jumpsuits maybe. Yeah, and I've just seen that repeated over and over again in the people I've gotten to like walk with intimately. Like more peace, more joy, more patience, all the fruits of the Spirit, but also just more, you know, more Sarah, more Jess, more Jeff, just like truly themselves, yeah.
That's awesome. About you, Matt. Yeah.
I'll go next. Agree with everything that Shannon just said. I think my experience has been very similar to hers. So just to add on to that a little bit, I think my perspective of the gospel is so much bigger and broader than it was 8-9 years ago. And I think I've seen that play out for lots of others in Soma as well. And that the gospel isn't just something that applies when you're at a church gathering on a Sunday, or you're doing something with your Christian friends, but it applies to your work, it applies to how you show up with your extended family, it applies to really everything that we do in our day-to-day lives. And I think that's been something that's been really sweet and powerful for me personally, and I hope it has been for y'all as well, too.
That's great.
I didn't answer the first question. How were you when you joined Soma? Sorry, I forgot. I would say that I was very prideful when I joined Soma, and I'm still probably that way, but it's like some of it God has showed me, and like he's humbled and healed me a lot through my years here, showing me different areas where I thought I knew better than everybody else or was just better at being a believer than everybody. Doesn't make sense at all. If I'd said that, you would all know that I was wrong. During my years here, I faced a lot of trauma for my first time, or named trauma for my first time, with my brother passing away and my cousin and my parents divorced and Nate almost dying right as we fell in love. So it was all within a year. It was really rough. And the MC like leaned into all that pain and didn't let me hide or get isolated when it was easy to. They walked with me and kept bringing me back to the gospel. There's even a time where I was like, I feel like I need the Lord there to support me. Like I need to lean back on him because my knees are just going to buckle. But I don't want to look him in the face. I can't do that. I need him, but I can't look at him because I'm so mad too. And they just walked with me through that season till I could like turn around.
That's so good. So, so good. And yeah, I think that just it was hard trying to come up with the stories or like, who should we invite to come up and do this? And I think that everyone's stories are so beautiful. And I think any one of them would have been like, oh yeah, this church plant 15 years ago was worth it. You know, I think to see, you know, one person come and be like, I have a lot of freedom in Christ and I want to be a Christian, even though I grew up with all of these different things. And I, like, that's like, oh wow, I would have moved here for that, you know? Yeah, that's really great. Or your story to be like, oh, what if there was a community for people that are experiencing a year like that, where on the other side of it, the thing that they learn is humility in Christ. That's just so beautiful. And I know anybody could have come and given their story that way too. And so I love it. And we're going to now take communion together. And I'm going to read Mark chapter 14 about that. And then we'll go and we'll take it as we always have. So nothing cool or special. Just go with the people in your MC, gather around, take the bread, take the wine, and celebrate the gospel. This is what Jesus says, or what Mark says in Mark chapter 14. It says, while they were eating, some of it's like they're like laying at the table. Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, take it, this is my body. And then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. And he said to them, truly I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it again in the kingdom of God. And then they sung a hymn and they went out to the Mount of Olives. As we take communion, I just want to remind you in this way for the last time, the truth of the gospel, which is that Jesus gave his body, his life, all that was in, you know, our we live embodied humanity, and he gave that. He gave his story, his life, his personality, his experiences, his head, shoulder, knees, and toes. He says, I'm giving this to you, and this is my blood poured out for you, that he died as a ransom, as a gift, as a weapon to conquer evil and death and all of those things. The good news of the gospel is we didn't make Jesus do that. You didn't live good enough to do that. You didn't get his attention well enough to do it. You didn't think through the right strategy and then get God on your side. God chose to give himself so that we might all live in abundance and communion and fellowship with him and with one another, making every sad, dark, evil thing untrue and making abundance, life, resurrection, the truth that hangs over all things. And so as we go and we take the communion for the very last time in this space with this church, I just pray that you'll remember that. That goodness, that you are taking and eating a meal about God's initiative for you and for the world. And so go and enjoy that.